Anybody in here like to wait? Do you like just say, I love to wait? In fact, when you fill out a resume or you go on a job interview and they ask you, what are your top strengths? You say, you know, I'm a good waiter. Now, I don't mean like you work in an Outback or the Olive Garden. I just mean you love to wait. In fact, you say, you know, if there are five or six people all going towards the same spot, I just kind of hang back. I like being last. Yeah, I love the way. In fact, I love Christmas shopping. I love returning presents. I love standing in line and waiting for that person in front of me who's returning four gifts but picking up eight more. I love when they pull out their check card and swipe it and it doesn't work. And they pull out their credit card and swipe it and it doesn't work. They go for their checkbook and they're fumbling around in their purse and they write the check. Then they have to go get it approved. I love waiting. I mean, I love going to Publix. I love going to that express line with my one item and standing behind the guy with 38. You know, I just love to wait. I just love it. I love going to elevators. Oh, I love watching that guy who frantically pushes that button time and time again, trying to make the elevator come faster. I love it when it says 25 above the elevator. And I just know I'm going to have to wait for 25 floors. And oh, let me tell you, if that elevator ever gets stuck, oh, just like heaven. You know, I love going to the airport. I love hearing my flight's been canceled, and I have to spend all night in the airport. And then in the morning when my flight comes in, they give my seat away to someone else, and I get bumped. I love it when that happens. I mean, it's just great. I mean, I love it when I get out of church, and I'm trying to get out of the parking lot and out on Greenland Road. I just love to wait. Does that describe anybody in here? Yeah, I didn't think so. I don't think there's a single person on this planet that says, I just love waiting around. You see, in our culture of fast food eating, speed dialing, cell phone talking, text messaging, emailing, while you're driving down the street, microwavable culture, we don't like to wait. We're always in a hurry. In fact, just a couple weeks ago, I was driving up 9A. They had some of that construction traffic. You know what I'm talking about? They had one of those signs out there that said, merge right. Now we all know what we need to do when it says merge right. We flip on our little ticker and we move into the right-hand lane. So that's exactly what I did. I got over there with everybody else. And we're sitting there and I'm looking at my watch and tapping the steering wheel and getting a little impatient. And then out of the corner of my eye, I catch him. The one guy. You know what I'm talking about. Hopefully it's not you. The one guy in the left-hand lane who's flying up the left-hand lane, going all the way to the front just to cut into the front. I tell you what. I know sometimes I just want to pull them over, pull them out, and beat them up. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, you know? Maybe it's just me because something inside of me says, if I have to wait, then you have to wait too. Now, we're not good waiters, are we? We don't do well waiting around. When someone says, I'm going to make you wait, what that says to us is, I'm stealing your valuable time. And you see, in our culture, we think waiting means inactivity. And so whatever it is or whatever circumstance it is that tells us that you have to wait, something wells up inside of us that says, oh, no, you won't. You're not going to make me wait. Well, you see, I think into this crazy, hurried, rushed, non-waiting culture we live in, I think there's a scripture verse, a powerful verse that I want to look at today. And it's one we've touched on a little bit earlier in this series, but I want to look at a different part today. And it's found in Psalms 37. Let me just read this to you, and you'll remember some of these verses that we started out earlier in the series with. It says this, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday sun. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Now, what I want to focus on today is that last little line there, where it simply says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. To relax in the strength, in the power, in the presence of the Almighty God, and trust him that he's going to act in your life. And wouldn't you know it, God's never in a hurry. There's a father and son who mined fields together. They grew produce. In fact, the only thing these two had in common was the fact that they shared the same last name. And so every year what they would do, this young son who was always antsy, always eager, a little high strung, he and his father who was laid back and just always taking his time, they would load up their produce on an ox cart and head to the nearest town to sell their produce. So this year was no different than any other. They loaded up their produce and they headed towards town. But you know, the young son, he was always prodding that ox, trying to make it go faster, trying to get him there quicker. But the old man was just kind of hanging back and taking breaks here and there. The young son was just like, come on, we got to hurry. But the old man was just saying, oh, let's take our time. In fact, you know what? Let's stop and see my brother. I haven't seen him for a while. It's on the way. Let's stop and just say, hey. And the young guy said, no, we got to go. We got to get to the city. Well, they ended up stopping and spending the night with the brother in fellowship. The next morning, they got up. And once again, the young son was like, let's go. We've got to hurry. We've got to get there. But the old man was like, let's just take our time and no rush. And so they're traveling along the road, and they came to a fork in the road. And as they hit the fork in the road, the old man says, let's go this way. This is the scenic route. Yeah, it's the long way, but there's trees and flowers and things that are beautiful. Let's go this way. And the young son was like, no, we can't go that way. It's going to take too long. But they end up going the long way. They took the scenic route, and they are going along, and they find this beautiful garden with trees and flowers and birds. And the old man said, let's just stay here for the night. Let's just camp here. And the young son was like, come on. You know, we got to go. We got to get to the city. But they end up spending the night. Well, the next morning when they woke up, they looked towards the city that they were heading to, and there was this large, dark cloud over the city. And the old man said, well, looks like there's a storm. And they heard a crack of thunder and a flash of lightning, and the young son was like, I knew it. We've taken so long. We could have been there by now. We could have sold everything we had and been on our way home. But no, because you just wanted to lollygag, we are still here. So they headed off towards the city. They spent the afternoon moving towards that town. And as they got closer to the town, they came to the hill that's looked over this city. And as they got to that hill, they stopped. And no one said a word for what seemed to be a long, long time. And finally, the son broke the silence as he put his hand on his father's back. And he said, Dad, I see what you mean. And father and son turned and carried their ox cart away from the city that was Hiroshima. You see, don't we do that sometimes? Don't we do that to God? We say, God, I gotta hurry. And we take off and we try to do things on our own. We try to do it our own way. We try to go our own direction. And before we know it, it blows up right in our face. And I think if there's anything that God has been telling us through this series, it's this. That if you want to discover, if you want to apply my will to your life, then you are just going to have to learn to wait. You're going to have to learn to wait. You see, before we move on talking about what it means to wait, you got to redefine that word, because in our culture, to wait means inactivity, which means our valuable time is being taken away from us. But you see, in God's economy, waiting is something different. You see, waiting in God's economy is an active thing. To wait means that you move through life while you rest in the assurance that God is working, that God is doing something in and through your life. That's what it means to wait on the Lord. It doesn't mean to say, okay, God, I've got a decision to make. I'm going to rest in you. In fact, God, I'm going to go take a nap. I'm going to close my eyes. When I wake up, everything is going to be clear. It doesn't mean that we take some spiritual siesta and kick back and put our feet up. To rest in the Lord means that we actively wait on him. Because we have trust and confidence in knowing that he is working in our life. He is working towards his master plan. You see, this waiting thing, it's an active thing. It is an active thing. And so this morning, here's what I want to do. Real simple. I want to give you a principle. I want to talk about this one principle, and then we're going to be done today. Principle is this. Wait actively and act dependently. Wait actively and act dependently. You see, that's the principle I think God wants to teach us as we wrap up this series on his will. You see, our culture says that waiting is an inactive thing, and that when you act, it's a very independent thing. I go, I do it. But you see, God says it's quite the opposite. As you wait, it is an active thing. To act, wait actively, and act dependently. So here's the question for us that we're asking today. Well, what does it mean then? I mean, we don't like to wait. We've talked about that already. None of us in here likes to wait. But what do we do, Jason, while we're waiting for God to act? Well, let me give you a couple things I think God wants us to do. First, this. He wants us to seek God, to seek him with all your heart. You seek God with all of your heart. You see, that is an active thing. That is not a passive thing. Yes, it may involve some quiet. Yes, it may involve a little downtime. Yes, it may involve a little solitude. It may involve some inactive moments. But even that in of itself is an active thing because it is leading you towards God's ultimate purpose for your life, which is to have a relationship with Him. Do you remember verse 4? This is the one we read a couple weeks ago, and I asked you if this stuck out to you. Maybe it stuck out to you today. It said this: delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You remember what we did with that verse? We broke it down into two parts. We said there's part A, part B. Part A says to delight yourself in the Lord. Part B says, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, if you weren't here, I encourage you, go grab the CD on that or go online and listen to it to get caught up with us. But we pretty much took those two things and gave you this principle. I said, if A is true, then wisely pursue the passions in you. Remember that? If A is true, then wisely pursue the passions in you. You see, that says the prerequisite for moving forward with the passions in your life is that you are happy about building a relationship with God. That you're actively pursuing a vibrant, day by day, trusting Him relationship with the Lord. That you are delighting yourself in Him every day. Because you see, God doesn't want to play a spiritual traffic cop in our lives. I think He gets frustrated with the fact that sometimes we just buzz back and forth, going, God, which way? This way, that way, this way, that way. And He gives us the answer and we go, okay, God, thanks a lot. We'll see you later. You see, God says, I'm interested in people who want to have a relationship with me. People who want to talk with me. People who want to walk with me. People who want to worship me. People who want to love me. Why? Why does He want that? Because that's what you and I were created to do. And God's will, if we've learned nothing else through this entire series, God's will above everything else for your life and for my life is that for you and I to come into a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is His will. Underline it, highlight it, mark it down. That is His will for our lives. So as we are waiting, as we are patiently waiting for God to do something in our lives while we are doing that, we keep seeking the Lord with all of our heart. Now the second thing we can do while we're waiting is this. We just keep doing the right thing. While you're waiting on God to act in your life, you keep doing the right thing. Look what it says in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. You just keep doing the right thing. I mean, let me give you a little scenario here. Say you're in a job that you don't feel is the job God wants you to have forever. And so you begin praying, you begin looking for those open doors in your life. And as you see those things, a couple things become apparent that you may not be able to move as fast as you want to move, but you keep praying, you keep looking for those open doors, you keep seeking His will in your lives. But after a while, you feel kind of stuck. And so you say in your job, okay, I'm just going to settle in here and do my job. I'm just feeling like I'm a little stuck here. I'm just going to be one of those lame duck employees. God, I'm just going to sit here and wait on You. You see, that's not the principle here. The principle says that while you are waiting for God to act, you are waiting actively. And that means you keep doing the right thing. And it means that wherever you are, whatever you are doing in your life, at that moment, you keep on doing the right thing. You're not always thinking about what could be or what might happen in your life or what door could open here or where you could go over there. The reality is that you and I are living in the moment that we are living in right now. I mean, the job we go to is the job we have right now. The family we go home to is the family we have right now. And you have got to be a part of that little world at this moment. Because God may be saying to you, the reason I cannot, the reason I don't give you my future will for your life is because right now, you're not concerned with my will for your life. I mean, if you're not concerned with it right now, why in the world am I going to give you your future will? So God says, right now, you keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. You keep doing the right thing at this moment in your life. In fact, I told someone this week what I was teaching on. They said, you know, Jason, I'm a little confused. Last week, you told us we got to jump in. We got to dive in. In fact, Jason, I think you said we have to cannonball in God's will for our lives. And so I said, okay, I'll do that, Jason. I'll dive in. I spent all week thinking I'm diving in. But now you're telling us we have to wait? I mean, I don't get it. How can we dive in the river and then wait? And I said, well, here, let me explain. You see, sometimes that river that we jump in is not the river of your will or the river of your desires or the river of your vision for your life. The river that we dive in is the river of God's will. And let me tell you, that river will take you wherever it wants to take you. And so you jump in that river, and sometimes you're going down the river, and you find yourself kicked over to the side a little bit, kind of wading around, kind of floating around in a little eddy. Because you're sitting over there, and you're going, I want to go down the river. I want to go down the river. But God says, right now, I need you over here. I need you over here because I want to develop something in your life. I'm developing some character in your life right now. And then, when you're done developing the character, then we'll continue on the journey down the river. You see, I think one of the most important lessons we've learned during this entire series is that God cares more about who we are than what job we have or what city we live in. You see, he's developing our character while we are waiting for him. And there's this other guy in the Bible, a guy we all know well. His name was David. And all of a sudden, David found out what this principle of waiting was all about. Because one day, Samuel showed up at his house and anointed him king of Israel. Can you imagine that? He was anointed king of Israel. And instead of climbing onto his throne, what does he do? He goes back out into the pasture. And he goes back to watching his sheep. The most mundane, tedious, smelly, awful job there is. Because he was not yet ready to be king. Listen to what that guy wrote. David wrote in verse 34. Don't be impatient on the Lord to act. Keep traveling steadily along his pathway. And in due season, he will honor you with every blessing. You see, God's delays are not always God's denials. He is usually preparing us for something far better. And I don't know where you are right now. I don't know what the situation is in your life, but you might be saying, but Jason, I don't understand. Why did God make me this way? Listen to this. God hasn't made you. God is making you. He is working in your life every day. He is molding you and shaping you. And as you walk down that path with him, side by side, he is molding you, making you, shaping you into the person he wants you to be. That's what you need to do while you wait. Well, let's look at the third component. And that third component is there in verse 3 as we read on as well. And it says this, to cultivate faithfulness. We have to cultivate faithfulness. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Now, I know this might be a little bit of a redundant point. And it might be an elementary point to make here. But you see, I think those of us who grab a hold of this are going to be vaulted into a whole new level of understanding what God's will is all about. Because you know what? There are going to be days when life isn't so clear. There are going to be days when there is no writing on the wall. There are going to be days when there is no message written in the sky. There are going to be days where you are standing at a crossroads and you have not yet heard from God what you are to do next. And this is the principle that says at that moment, you bloom where you're planted. You bloom where you're planted. You trust God and you be faithful where you are at that moment. You don't bail out and do the wrong thing. You don't get impatient and take things into your own hand. You don't walk out the door or throw in the towel or curl up in the fetal position. You cultivate faithfulness right where you are planted. You know, I think we begin to cultivate that faithfulness when we really take time to take stock in how faithful God has been to us. And have you ever done that? Taken a few minutes and set back and rewound and thought about last couple weeks or maybe the last couple months or last couple years in your life? I mean, you just take some time on a drive or on a quiet day or a quiet night where you sit back and you think about what has God done in my life? And you go back and you rewind your situation, and in the middle of those thoughts, a tear comes to your eye. Or maybe you put your head in your hands. Or maybe you look up to heaven and you have a huge grin because you realize that every step of the way, even though you thought God was completely oblivious to your situation, he was right there by your side. He never left you. He was right there orchestrating every single detail of your life in a perfect, perfect way. You know, I think we begin to cultivate that faithfulness when we understand how faithful God is in our life, and that faithfulness then as a characteristic begins to seep out of us. It begins to seep out of our lives. And you see, to be able to cultivate that kind of faithfulness, that means you have to do well, you have to do good, you have to be dependable and God-honoring at whatever you put your hand to. Whether it's the most tedious, mundane, boring task or job on the planet, you just cultivate that kind of faithfulness right where you're planted. And I think Jesus was pretty serious about this faithfulness thing. In fact, I believe Scripture says that God was very serious about this faithfulness thing. Do you remember what Jesus said about faithfulness? He said, if you've not been faithful in the little things, then you'll not be faithful with the big things. He said, if I can't trust you with the little things, how in the world am I going to trust you with the big things? And church, let me just be honest with you this morning. I may step on some toes and I'll try to be gentle. But you know, some of us sit around and gripe and complain about where we are in life. And all the while, we ask God to move us out of this dead-end job. And the truth is, God is saying, you're a slacker. You're a slacker. And if you're going to be a slacker here, then you're going to be a slacker there. And if I can't trust you with this little thing, how can I trust you with this big thing? And God is saying, I need you to stay right where you are. Keep doing the right thing while you're waiting on me to move. Listen to what it says in Colossians 3. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. Heard about a guy who, because of a number of unfortunate circumstances in life, this college grad, this really smart guy, found himself working the late shift at McDonald's. He was cleaning the floors, mopping the place up, getting ready for the next day. Well, one night as he was getting ready to close, someone came through the door, and it was an old friend from high school. And he said, man, what are you doing here? I mean, what are you doing here? You had such potential. You went to college. I mean, why are you here? I mean, you could be doing so much more with your life. And that guy sitting there holding the mop says this, well, you know what? Until that happens, I'm going to be here cleaning this place every night like Jesus Christ is going to be the first customer through that door every single morning. That's what it means to cultivate faithfulness. That's what it means to bloom where you're planted. Now, there's a fourth component here to this waiting actively thing. And it's this. Moment by moment, we do life with God. Moment by moment, we do life with God. You see, once again, it's that idea of surrender, that we give everything to God. You invite God to do life with you every moment of the day. You continually trust Him in your life. In fact, this week, I've had a lot of conversations with people about this fact, about that word, surrender. People said, well, Jason, how do we do that? I mean, how do I surrender? I mean, how do I continually trust Jesus every single day? Well, what that means is that every day, through the action of our lives, and you see, there is action. We have to go through our lives. We can't call up our boss on Monday and say, hey, boss, I'm not going to be into work today. I'm going to sit here on the couch all week long and wait for God. That doesn't happen. We can't do that. We got to go to work. We got to go to school. We got to do the family thing. So as we go, as we move, as we work, as we walk, along the way, we are committing our life day by day, moment by moment to God. You say, I got a meeting today at 2 o'clock, God. I want to take you to that meeting with me. God, whatever you want in that meeting, I want it to be your will. Not my will, but your will, God, in this meeting. And so, God, I don't know what your plans are. I don't know what your desires are. But let me walk in there with a confidence that I'm walking in that meeting with you. And no matter what happens, regardless of the outcome, I will have confidence that you are with me. Or maybe say, God, tonight I got a date at 7:30. And I want to commit this date to you. God, I don't know what your desire is for this relationship, but whatever your desire for this relationship is, it's what my desire for this relationship is. God, I told you I was going to dive into the river of your will. So God, I commit this relationship with you. Or maybe you say, God, I'm on my way home. I'm just a few miles away from the driveway. And God, tonight, would you give me the energy? God, I commit the time with my family tonight. Would you give me the energy, the creativity? Would you give me the joy to be the kind of father the kind of husband that my family needs me to be? Or maybe, God, I'm going in tomorrow for this open heart surgery thing. And I'm a little nervous, I'm a little scared, but I commit my life to you, God. And God, I give it to you because I have confidence in who you are and my life, my future, my eternity. It's in your hands because I trust you. Or maybe it's, God, you gave me this church and I'm scared. I don't know if I'm enough for this job. God, I know at times I've run from you. God, at times I've told you no. But God, if there's one lesson in life you told me time and time and time again, it's I need to surrender. So God, I surrender. And every single day as I wake up, God, I will wave that white flag of surrender to you and say, I am not enough, but I serve a God who is. You know, as I started this job 2 years ago, that theme of surrender, God wanted to make sure I learned it really, really well. And so I went through this job and I continue to hear this lesson, but God works in, well, he works in his ways. One day I received a package in the mail. And in that package, there was no writing on the outside, no return address. But as I opened it up, this was what was inside of the package. My white flag. A daily reminder from somewhere that I need to surrender. And this sits on my desk every day to remind me that every step of the way, every decision I make, every meeting I go to, every sermon I write, I trust God first. And that's what it's about. Listen to what Proverbs 3 says, and it's a verse we all know. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. That's what you do while you wait. Now, I told you there were two parts to this. The first part was wait actively, and the second part was to act dependently. Which means when God does give us direction, when God does give us the plan, when God does open the doors, when he does say, hey, this is the way you should go, we don't say, okay, God, thanks a lot. It's about time you showed up. I'll take it from here. You see, we're not running some spiritual relay race where Jesus is coming around the corner and we're sitting there watching him run around the corner, and in his hand is a baton, and in that baton is God's will. And so we're sitting there and we're getting ready. We're getting ready for Jesus to come. When we got our hand out, Jesus comes and puts the baton in our hand and we take off. And as we're running, we look back over our shoulder and said, thanks a lot, Jesus. I'll take it from here. That's not how it works. God says, when I give you my plans for your life, I want to do that with you. I want to run that race with you. I want to walk your life with you. So we wait actively and we act dependently. So as I'm moving forward in my life and I hear God saying, Jason, this way, this is the way you go. I walk with him. I trust him. Because if I get too far ahead of him, if I get too out far in front of him, I run the risk of missing out on what God's will is all about. Ultimately, it's about having a relationship with him. That's what it's about. Now, I know some of you are thinking, okay, Jason, this is great. It's God's will thing, 5 weeks, it's been good. I've learned a lot today. Another catchy little phrase, wait actively and act dependently. That's pretty good and all. And God, Jason, I'll do my best to seek God with all my heart, and I'll try to do the right thing. And yeah, I know, I've been cutting some corners in my life a little bit here, and you know, I'll do my best to quit complaining, and I'll start trying to cultivate faithfulness in my life, and I'll trust God continually, and I'll try to act dependently. But Jason, I don't mean to sound unspiritual, but I need to know by Friday. I need an answer. I mean, how long am I supposed to wait on God to answer my question? Well, let me give you three quick things as we wrap up here in the next 2 minutes. Simply this. The first one is this. I think you stop waiting when the decision time is here. Deep there, isn't it? You see, what do you do when a decision has to be made? You got to make a decision. So when the clock hits zero, you're out of timeouts, and you've not heard from the big man upstairs, guess what? It's time for you to act. It's time for you to make a decision. And what did our principle say? If A is true, then wisely pursue the passions in you. So if you're delighting yourself in the Lord and you've run your passions through the filters of God's word, through his spirit, through your close spiritual friends, through circumstances, then move forward and make that decision. But if A is not true, and if you've not, you know, committed those to the Lord and run those things through the filter, then you're on your own. And who knows what's going to happen? But if you've done everything right, then you have to move forward in the confidence that God is going to honor your decision. because you delight yourself in the Lord. Another thing we need to do as we stop waiting is when all the doors are closed. That's what we know we have to move forward. We have to stop waiting when all the doors are closed. When they're closed and they're shut tight, we have to keep moving. You see, sometimes God closes those doors and it's obvious. He says, this relationship door is closed. Or this career path door is closed. And when that's the case, we've got to move on. And how do we do that? Well, we take those things back before God and say, God, here's all this stuff again. I'm sorry, God. I've been beating my head against this door that I want to go through. And now, God, whatever door you want me to go through, I will walk through that door and I will act dependently upon you. And last, you can stop waiting when you clearly hear God's voice. You can stop waiting when you clearly hear God's voice. And let me tell you, God does speak to us. And it's not reserved for some super spiritual, hyper spiritual select group of people. God speaks to all of his children. We can all hear his still, soft voice. In fact, maybe you've had that experience before where you've had a problem, an issue, and you've been reading your Bible and all of a sudden it came to you. You knew what God wanted you to do. Or maybe you were talking to a friend and going through your life circumstance, and all of a sudden as you're talking, you understood, something became very clear to you, the direction God wanted you to go. Or maybe you were in this room. Maybe you're sitting here in a worship service and a song that was sung or a testimony or a video that was played or something I said, all of a sudden the light came on. You said, that's what God wants me to do. And so you move forward and you act dependently and you obey him. You know, sometimes I think we want God to speak to us. But when God does speak to us, we just don't like what he has to say. We say, God, can I, you hold that for a while? Or maybe we say, God, I'm just going to put this over here for a little while because maybe you'll change your mind, you know? But when you clearly hear God speak to you, it's time for you to move ahead and quit waiting. And I don't know, as we wrap up this series, what God's been saying to you through this series. I don't know if he's been speaking to you about where you are in life or what river you're actually floating in. Or maybe at this moment, God is speaking to you. God is saying, I love you. I love you. And you may not know what unconditional love is because you've never experienced it on earth, but let me give you my unconditional love. Would you just walk with me day by day by day? I have a plan for you. I've got a hope and a future for you. Would you walk with me? Would you do life with me on this day? Would you commit your life with me? I've been calling you. Your heart has been hard. You've been ignoring my voice, but would you hear my voice calling you? Today is the day. Today is the day to commit your life to him. And maybe you've been saying, God, I've been trying my own way. I've been walking down my own path. I've been trying to do my own thing, and it hadn't been working out. God, today is the day I give my life to you. Would you bow your heads with me? And would you just take a few moments to quietly pray for those in this room who are at that pivotal point in their life, at that crossroads, at that fork in the road, where God may be calling them to simply say, would you trust me? Would you walk with me? God, right now, I just pray for the people in this room. I pray for our hearts, God. God, we know and we celebrate the fact that your good and perfect and powerful will is that we have a relationship with you. That through your son Jesus, our sins have been forgiven, God, and we can be reconnected with you. We can be in fellowship with you. We can be in communion with you. And God, we can never say thank you enough for that sacrifice. But I pray, God, I pray for those in this room today that are at that point in life, at that tipping point, where God, you are calling them to walk with you. God, I pray today that they will not leave this place before they put their life in your hands. God, we love you. Thank you for your will in our lives. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And God, help us as we wait to walk with you day by day. It's in your name we pray. Amen.